Brothers and sisters, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him. In love, he destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ, in accord with the favour of his will, for the praise of the glory of his grace that he granted us in the Beloved. In him we were also chosen, destined in accord with the purpose of the one who accomplishes all things through the intention of his will, so that we might exist for the praise of his glory, we who first hoped in Christ. The moment we are baptized, Christ begins to release us from the sin of the world. A pilgrimage sets out that leads us beyond the world of sin. When we speak of Mary, we wish to say that the holiness bestowed on her by Christ reached right down to the core of her being. We wish to say that in the very moment of her coming into existence, she belonged at once to the kingdom of God. The Church's understanding of Mary has grown over the centuries, as has the vocabulary used to express it. Simon Peter never told the evangelist Mark that Mary was immaculately conceived. I don't believe he knew it. Certainly Bernard of Clairvaux was not aware of it. Nor was Thomas Aquinas convinced this teaching was necessary or useful. Frankly, I'm not quite sure Mary herself ever knew it. There has been rather a growing recognition within the Christian community that we ought to praise her with all our skill, in that she was as holy as a redeemed creature could possibly be. Our belief, then, in this solemn feast is that Mary was never for a moment under the domination of evil. Are we saying she did not need redemption, nor need the sacrifice of Christ? We're certainly not saying that. But has anyone in our tradition suggested a formula of words that will convincingly encapsulate the instinct of our hearts? Well, the Scottish Franciscan Duns Scotus pointed out that the height of Christ's redeeming power lay not only in curing sin, but in preventing it in the first place. So, to be in this world, yet barred from ever falling under the domination of evil, is not to be less, but more dependent on Christ the Redeemer. You might say, Mary has greater cause for gratitude to Christ than any of us has. Advent is the season in which the Redeemer is again celebrated, while his coming is awaited with keen anticipation. In the liturgy, we hear repeated those powerful syllables with which the angelic voice introduced the news that Mary herself would conceive and bear a son. Hail, full of grace! It is an awesome description. No wonder Mary is reported as having been much perplexed by this greeting. On this day, we celebrate her who is totally and radically redeemed. And we do so because the good news continues. The Christ-given sanctity that we too have begun to taste will not stop short of the roots of our being. We are invited to become no less than radically holy. As I make a pilgrim's progress, I grow in admiration of how complete is the holiness given us through Christ. And when it comes to expressing wonder and gratitude for it all, I tend to echo the voice and heart of my mother. My soul magnifies the Lord.